We're going to turn in our Bibles to a passage where the Lord Jesus teaches about justification. It's found in Luke's Gospel and chapter 18 and verses 9 to 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. This is one of those parables where the Lord Jesus teaches a very important doctrine about justification. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man," meaning the tax collector, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And I'll be referring a bit later in my sermon to that passage. Now, before we come to look at the Word of God, we're going to sing. Actually, before we sing, we're going to turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are in the presence of God who is eternally gracious and merciful. We thank you, our Father, for your great works which declare your character. We thank you for creation which speaks of the glory of God. We thank you that the heavens do indeed declare the glory of God. We thank you that we look at creation and we see your wisdom and we see your great power and we see your kindness. We see the way that you care for us and the way that you provide for our daily needs. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness. But we thank you, our Father, that you've spoken to us not only in creation, but you've spoken to us especially in your Word. We thank you that we have the Word of God before us. And we thank you that this Word declares to us that which creation couldn't. We thank you that this Word tells us about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We thank you that he came to this earth for the sake of sinners. We thank you that for years, for three decades plus, he lived on this sinful side, a perfect man, righteous, holy, God in flesh. We thank you that he lived amongst us. And we thank you, our Father, that he declared the glory of God in his character, in his actions, and in his words. And we thank you, our Father, that when the time was right, he went to that cross and took upon himself our sins and dealt with them, put an end to sin. We thank you, our Father, that he has paid the penalty for us. We thank you that he has shed his own blood that we might be cleansed and freed from slavery to sin. We thank you that he has borne upon himself your just anger and therefore removed it. And we thank you that today we come into your presence as your holy people, justified and adopted into your family. Our Father, we thank you for this local church. We thank you that for over a century the Word of God has been preached faithfully here. We thank you that there never has been a time when this church has strayed into liberalism or any kind of unbelief, but we thank you that there always has been faithful preaching of God's word here. And we look to this new year, our Father, and we pray that you might continue to be faithful to us. We do not look at men. We do not trust men. We do not trust in the powers or the learning of men. But we look to God, and we pray that in the coming year, every time the word of God is preached, that it would be from the scriptures, faithful exposition of God's word. And we pray, Lord, for the members of this church. And we pray, our Father, that through this year, we would have that one goal in mind, to love Christ and to be transformed increasingly into his holy image. We pray, our Father, that we would, through this year, keep in step with the Holy Spirit himself who lives in us and is at work transforming us into the image of Christ. May Christ be seen increasingly in us. May our words, our attitudes, our thoughts, our actions increasingly reflect Christ. Our Father, we pray for your blessing upon us. We know that we live in a world full of sin and trials, and we're not immune to these things. We know that we ourselves will face many temptations and many trials and difficulties in the coming year. And we look to you, O God, and we pray that you might strengthen us and strengthen our faith and grant that we'll have a close walk with you. Grant, O God, that even our trials will be for our good, that our trials will produce in us perseverance and perseverance hope. Lord, we pray that you would bless us through this year and watch over us and keep us by your side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing from Cop's Praise number 169. I'm reconciled to God forever. And then verse 2 speaks about being justified. Cop's Praise 169. Let's rise to sing. Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of Paul to the Romans and chapter 5. The letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 11. Romans chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 11. And the Apostle Paul writes, Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I'm beginning this morning a new series of sermons on this passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This passage is recognized as one of those passages which contains a list of the blessings that God pours out upon his people when he grants them salvation. The Bible is a revelation of God's character. And the Bible tells us that God is gracious. That means God is kind, loving, merciful, and God does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He deals with us in kindness and mercy. And the Bible tells us that when God saves us, he doesn't just grant to us one or two minor blessings here and there. The Bible tells us that with salvation, there comes a whole host of blessings. God is gracious. God delights in mercy. And God's great character is revealed in his mercy. So God in kindness pours out upon us blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And this is one of the passages where there is a list of blessings. The Apostle Paul in Romans talks about the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Now I'll explain that in a moment because that's my sermon this morning. So he explains this doctrine, justification by faith alone. And he explains why we need to be justified. He says we're all sinners, we're all in sin, we are helpless and hopeless and lost in sin. And he explains what God has done about this, how in grace and mercy God has reconciled us to himself and granted us the blessing of justification. And he explains what this means in chapter 4 and how the Old Testament teaches this. And then in chapter 5, he begins to show the consequences of justification. He says, you people are justified. Look at how chapter 5 begins. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, he then says, here are the blessings that we have received. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be working our way through Romans chapter 5, verse 11. I'm afraid I don't know how long this series will be. I'm still working through it in my own study, and week by week we'll be looking through this list. And the reason I'm doing this, let me just explain very briefly. Frankly, I need to do a study on the blessings that God has given to us in Christ. And I think we as a church need to just revisit a passage like this. I think we as a church at the beginning of a new year need to remind ourselves of this, that we have a God in heaven who is kind. We have a God in heaven who is favorably disposed towards us. We have a God in heaven who has accepted us and loves us and delights in us. And we have a God in heaven who through the year will walk with us and be with us. And it's important for us to remember that, because 2017 isn't going to be easy. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be particularly difficult for any particular reason. We live in a world that is full of sin. We live in a world where there are trials, difficulties, illnesses, temptations. And through the year, as we face our trials, this surely is going to be the rock that is going to hold us to our faith. God has been good to us, and God continues to be good to us. God has blessed us and has showered blessings upon us and continues to bless us and to shower blessings upon us. You know, it's interesting that this passage is packed with the blessings that God has given to us. This is why we're going to crawl our way through it. I mean, verse 1 is going to take 2 sermons. Now, this is not the only passage in the Bible that lists the blessings of salvation. You could go into Ephesians, you could go into Colossians, you could go into the Thessalonian epistles and pull out lists from there. Well, again, different things, the blessings of God. And I don't know, maybe after Easter I'll go into Ephesians and look at another list. We'll see how things go. But we want to study this passage because we want to understand how good and kind and gracious God has been to us. Now, this passage basically tells us that all of God's blessings are built upon this foundational doctrine of justification by faith alone. Look at the way verse 1 is worded. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, since this has happened to us, we have been justified by faith. It's a done thing. And since that thing has been done, there then come out of this foundation, or built upon this foundation, there then come all these other blessings. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings and so on. So He pulls out a list of blessings and He says, you have this done thing, you are justified by faith alone, and from that you have all these blessings. So this morning we're going to examine the foundation. And then next Sunday we're going to look at the first of the blessings that is built upon it, peace with God, and then access into God's grace and so on, week by week. So this morning, what does it mean to be justified by faith alone in Christ alone? It's a big word. Justified, justification. It's a big word. And it's not the kind of word that we often use, certainly not in the way that the New Testament uses it in our everyday vocabulary. But it's an important word. It's one of the most important words in the Bible. And when we come across these big words, we don't run away from them, or we don't say, this is for theologians and for Bible teachers, I just want the simpler words. Here are important words that God has spoken, and we need to dig them up, examine them, because blessing is here. So we're looking at this morning. What does it mean to be justified by faith alone in Christ alone? And I'm going to put down 4 statements. I'm going to work my way through 4 statements. They're all drawn from Romans, because in the previous passages, Paul has explained some of this. So I'm going to pull out 4 statements, and we will see from these 4 statements what it means to be justified. And the first is this. The Bible teaches us that justification is an act of God's free grace. Justification is an act of God's free grace. Just flick back to chapter 3 and verse 24. Actually, from 23. Chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. Now, what does this mean? It means simply this, that we as sinners deserve the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and the law of God to unleash all its penalties upon us. That is what we deserve. If you're a Christian this morning, you know that that is true. You know your own heart. And God has been good to you in that God has shown you your sin. And as you grow as a Christian, you see more and more of your sin. This is the remarkable thing about the Christian life, because the Christian life is coming closer and closer to God. And God is light. And the closer we come to light, the more we see the stains and the faults in our character. If I'm walking out in the middle of the night, and there's no light, no street lights anywhere, and I'm wearing the filthiest of clothes, well, nobody will see that. But the moment I come under a street lamp, however dim it is, you can begin to see some of the stains on my clothes. Now, if the light is very bright, it's a floodlight, and it reveals everything. Well, even if I'm wearing the cleanest of clothes with one slight speck somewhere, immediately the light picks it out. So the Bible tells us this great truth. We're all sinners before God. If you're a Christian this morning, you know that. And as I've said before from this pulpit, if you are not a Christian here this morning, do you know there's only one real reason why you are not a Christian? It's because you've never understood your sinfulness. You've never understood this great truth. You're a sinner before God. And God, therefore, rejects you on the basis of your sin. But the Bible tells us that God is gracious, and grace means God blesses when actually we deserve justice and punishment. God does not deal with us according to our sins. God is kind. God is merciful. Where the person deserves to be judged, where the person deserves to be punished, where the person deserves to be cast out from the presence of God because he's a sinner, and to be cast into hell for eternity because that is his just deserts. Where a person deserves that, God looks upon him or her not with judgment, but with kindness and with mercy. And God brings that person to himself and grants them salvation. Justification is an act of God's grace. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are a Christian because God has been gracious to you. You're not a Christian because you deserve to be a Christian. You're not a Christian because there was something in you that moved God to be good to you and to give you salvation. You're not a Christian because there was some quality, some moral quality or something like that that God saw and thought, well, that person deserves the forgiveness of sin and salvation. That's not the reason. We deserve nothing but judgment. But God, instead of giving us what we deserve, which is judgment, He gives to us blessing. All these blessings that are here, they're all gracious. They're all given out of God's grace. And God continues to be gracious to us. You know what you like as a Christian? You become a Christian and you walk with the Lord. And there is still sin in your life. We still have sin indwelling in us. We still have sinful habits and sinful tendencies. We fall into temptation and we still commit sin. And God continues to be gracious to us. So justification in the first place then is an act of God's grace. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, this is the greatest of good news for you. Because it means you can know the forgiveness of your sins. It means you can come to God today and you can say to Him, bless me, me also. You can say to Him, here is a list of blessings. I may not fully understand every one of them, but I want those blessings. You can ask Him for those blessings and He will give them to you. He won't say to you, now have you deserved them? Have you been religious enough? Have you been moral? Have you been good? Have you been kind? He won't say anything of the kind. You come to Him seeking salvation, He will give it because He is gracious. So the first thing then, justification is an act of God's free grace. But a second thing from the New Testament, particularly the book of Romans, justification means all our sins have been forgiven eternally through the work of Christ. Justification means all our sins have been forgiven eternally through the work of Christ. Just flick back again to chapter 4 of Romans. And look at what Paul writes about David. Verses 6 to 8. Romans 4, 6 to 8. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Now, I want us to think about this, because I think we as Christians sometimes struggle with this concept of forgiveness. And I think we sometimes think that when I become a Christian, God forgives all my sins up to the point that I became a Christian. But then after that, it's as if I'm on my own. I've now got to sort out my own salvation, my own forgiveness. I've got to try and earn favor with God. Yes, the past He has dealt with graciously, but once I've become a Christian, I now go to sort out and make sure that I'm actually winning the favor of God. Now, this is what the Bible teaches us. It says that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross of Calvary, God took all the sins, past, present, future, all the sins of all His people and laid them upon Christ. And God punished Him for all the sins of all His people. None was left unpunished. If you're a Christian this morning, all your sins of the past have been forgiven and cleansed and dealt with. All the sins that you will commit today have been forgiven and cleansed and dealt with. And all the sins you will commit until the day you die and enter into the presence of Christ have been forgiven and cleansed and dealt with. They're all gone. I've often sat with people who know that the end of their life is coming. As a pastor, that's one of the things you do. And do you know one of the most common questions? Pastor, will God allow me in? Now, the person is a Christian, has been a Christian for decades. But you see, they've never fully grasped this, that God in Christ has forgiven me everything. That He has no record of sin now. It's not as if God is sitting there with my book in His hand and my name is on the book and all my sins are still there. And when I stand before Him in a few hours or a few days when I die, I'll be standing before Him and He will say, oh, there's a lot here, isn't there? Dear me, look at this list. And do you know, this is only volume one. I think people fear that, you know. I think people think that God has this list of sins, list of outstanding debts, and when we stand before Him, He will pull them all out, and He might grudgingly, well, all right, you can come in. Now, you know, that's not the case. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken upon himself all our sins and made a full satisfaction of the law of God for all our sins. They're all dealt with in the law of God. They're all forgiven. They're all gone. They've been thrust into the bottom of the sea. They're hurled. They're gone. And we have complete forgiveness. Now, I do understand that this teaching can alarm people, because people immediately think, goodness me, he's giving me a license to go and live the most riotous life possible. Now, can I say this? If that is how you do think, you have to ask yourself, am I a Christian? You see, this is biblical teaching, and how we receive this teaching and what we do with this teaching actually reveals whether we are Christians or not. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's a lot of teaching in the Bible like this. God gives to us truth. But then what do we do with that truth? How do we live our lives according to that truth? That reveals whether we're believers or not. Now, if I think to myself, oh, the Lord Jesus has taken all my sins, past, present, and future, my sins of tomorrow. Right, that's it. Riotous living from tomorrow. If that's how I think, well, that shows I'm still a slave of sin. He deals with this in chapter 6, by the way. That shows that I was never crucified with Christ and haven't died to sin, but I'm still living a life of sin. I was never converted. But if I think to myself, he has forgiven me all. And that means I can now serve him with a clear conscience and a grateful heart. I can now give myself to him with complete abandon. And I can say to him, thank you for all that you've done. It's so wonderful. My sins are gone. I'm not always laboring under a guilty conscience. I'm not always laboring under a lack of assurance. Will I get in? Won't I get in? It's all done and dealt with. And you've forgiven me. And you brought me into your kingdom. And I'm going to give myself to you and serve you and love you and give all that I have for you. If that is how a person thinks, that reveals a converted, regenerate heart. The Bible says there are those who turn the grace of God into license, and that is a sign that the person is never converted. But this truth that all our sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with, are gone, and God is not angry with us, and God is not judging us, and God is not looking down upon us with disapproval, and God is not grudgingly dealing with us, but God deals with us in love and in mercy and approves of us. This should move us to love him and serve him. As you go through 2017, remember this: if you're a Christian, God is not against you. And God is not angry with you. And God is not judging you. Now, you will face trials. It is not the judgment of God. He has judged Christ in your place, because he has forgiven all our sins eternally through the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So justification is an act of God's free grace. It's a gift freely given, not according to what we deserve, but the opposite of what we deserve. It means all our sins have been forgiven. Thirdly, justification means we are given the righteousness of Christ. Justification means we are given the righteousness of Christ. In chapter 4 again, and verse 6, which we've already read, but you see what Paul said there, chapter 4 and verse 6. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. To whom God counts righteousness apart from works. And then verse 9. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. Now, it's a complicated thing. I accept that. But it is something we need to understand, because it is so important. When God saves us, God removes all our sins and forgives us. So there is now no record of sin standing between us and God. Our sins are gone. Our sins are forgiven. Now you would think that's fantastic. That's a wonderful blessing. And it is. But it is in the nature of God to continue to bless and to give more than we ever expected or would even imagine. And in justification, God does more than forgiving our sins and removing our sins. God gives to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. He imputes that to our account. Now, I appreciate I'm using technical language here, but really it's the best way of understanding it. And I would say if you come across words that you don't understand, don't just say, well, there must be a simpler way of putting it. Look up those words and grasp the concept, because it is important. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of perfect obedience. He pleased God with the way that he lived his life. He was righteous in the sight of God. And when God justifies us, when God grants to us the blessing of salvation, God imputes to our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that God makes us morally righteous. I am saying God pronounces us legally righteous. Now, if you think about a court case, you can see where I'm going with this. You imagine that a person who everybody, all his neighbors say, he's a thoroughly rotten character. You know, he's rude, he's arrogant, he's nasty, he's an unpleasant sort of bloke. And one day he's taken to court and charged with certain crimes. And the magistrate or the judge examines the case carefully and objectively and honestly, and he says, I find no charge here. Now, he's not saying this person is the nicest, most pleasant man you've ever met. He's a lovely character. Not saying that. You see, the person's character has nothing to do with the law. The law simply says, has the law been broken? Has there been actions which have broken the law? And the judge says, I'm sure he's a nasty character, and people have stood here in the dock and said he's a thoroughly unpleasant man, but actually he has not broken any law. So the man goes free. And God, in saying to us, I justify you, is not saying you are now perfect and will live a sinless life. God is saying, my law is satisfied as far as you are concerned. The law has no charge against you. Your sins are gone and you have the righteousness of my Son covering you. So we are righteous, accepted in the sight of God. This is the application of this. Does God accept me? Am I actually acceptable to him? And the Bible says yes, because Jesus has died for me, and Jesus has lived for me, and Jesus was raised for me. And his death removes my sin, and his life gives to me his righteousness, and his resurrection confirms all these things. So I'm forgiven and I am accepted. I do know that there are people who had difficult relationships with their fathers. And the father would only accept the child if the child did really, really well at school, or, you know, did well in the home or did the housework and so on. And there was always this difficult relationship. And the child always went around, is my dad happy with me? Is my dad okay with me today, or is he angry with me? And some people have had terrible childhoods because the fathers have been so capricious or so unpredictable in the way that they've dealt with their children. The child never knows, does my father love me today? Is he pleased with me? Is he happy with me? Is he going to play with me and give me some presents, or is he going to shout at me? And we sometimes transfer this to God, and we sometimes think, well, does God really love me? Does God really accept me? Does he really like me? Is he really delighted in me? And the doctrine of justification says yes to all those questions. He does love us, and he delights in us, and he accepts us, and he's at work in us, transforming us into the image of his Son. So justification is an act of God's free grace. It means our sins have been forgiven. It means we are given the righteousness of Christ. And then fourthly and finally, justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone. If you've been following me this morning, perhaps you're thinking to yourself, this is fantastic. What must I do to get this? Because that is default setting in the human being. People would come to Jesus and they would say, what works must I do that I may have salvation? Because we always think of, what must I do? And we often think about God, well, I know that I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need to know that when I stand before God on the day of judgment, I need him to say to me, I'm accepting you, enter. Well, what must I do to come into that position? What must I do to have the forgiveness of my sins and the righteousness of Christ imputed to me? And the Bible's answer is, not works. Not works. We are not justified by our works. You cannot do anything in order to deserve justification. Justification is something that Christ has secured by his work, and you must come to him, and you must trust him, you must put your faith in him, and you must receive your justification by faith in him. It is something that comes by faith alone, in Christ alone. You must trust him. You must ask him to forgive you your sins. You must ask him to give you his righteousness. You must ask him to do all that is necessary to make you acceptable to God. You cannot do it by your own works. You try to save yourself by your own works, you're on the road to disaster. You actually will never enter heaven. Your own works will never commend you to God. They will never earn you anything. We are sinners through and through. And the only way of salvation is Christ, his person, his works, his death, his resurrection, his high priestly work today. Christ alone is Savior. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you must come to Christ. You must believe in him. You must trust him. You must put your faith in him. You must put all your hopes of entering heaven on him. You must ask him to forgive you. You must ask him to make you righteous. You must ask him to adopt you into the family of God. You must ask him to give you the Holy Spirit. You must ask him to be constantly at work in you, transforming you into his image. You must trust him and ask him and put all your faith in him. Without Christ, you will never have salvation. He alone is Savior. All through the Old Testament, he was prophesied the Savior of the world. He comes in the New Testament and it is announced that he has come to save his people from their sins. And after his work on the cross and his resurrection and ascension, the apostles begin to write about him and how he is the Savior who has done all that is sufficient for our salvation. If you're not a Christian this morning, I commend my Savior to you. And I say this to you, he is gracious. And he forgives all our sins and gives to us righteousness and brings us to God and reconciles us to God and makes us the beloved children of God. He alone has authority to do it, and he does it to all who come to him. If you're not a Christian, you're outside of Christ. You have no justification, no forgiveness of sins, no righteousness, no hope of heaven. Come to him today. We're about to sing a hymn, and there are some words in this hymn that I want you to take special care, special attention. It describes faith. Nothing in my hand I bring. You're not pleading your works. Don't plead your works. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, I come to thee for dress. Helpless, I look to thee for grace. Foul, you see, this is the description of us. We are naked, we're helpless, we're foul. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. If you don't wash me, I have no washing. If you don't forgive me, I have no forgiveness. This is faith in Christ. Come to him today, and you will have the forgiveness of your sins and justification. Let's come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are gracious. And we thank you, our Father, for this wonderful gift of justification, sins forgiven, and righteousness imputed through faith in Christ. Our Father, we pray that through this year we would remember these great truths that you have declared in your word. And our Father, we pray that these truths will sustain us. And we pray, Lord, especially for any this morning who are yet unsaved. And we pray, our Father, that today, by your Spirit, the first day of the year, may this be the first day of their Christian lives. Please, will you, in mercy and grace, draw them to yourself and grant them salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.